Good morning, church. Good morning. Welcome to Faith Community United Methodist Church. It's good to be with you once again in the Lord's house where we can come and celebrate that we are known by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope you've come with an attitude of worship and knowing that you are loved and that you are able to share that love with the world. What better thing to do with life than to share love with the world that needs it in a dire way? Let us turn to our announcements this morning. There are several here. First of all, I just want to thank you for celebrating Karen Turner's birthday. The word that we're getting is there's been like 100 cards were sent to her, and it was quite a joy for her to be able to hear from her church family as she is now, you know, several hundred miles away from us. But it was good for her to see that she is still supported by all of us here. I also want to remind everybody today is Coins for Mission Sunday, so if you brought some coins with you, our children will be bringing the buckets out to you to go towards several different missions in our local area. Also, the men's and women's groups, as you can see, are meeting this week, so take note of which ones you want to be connected with, and you are more encouraged to come to all those things. And you have this in your bulletin, I believe, still, the Autumn Blessing. There may have been some just assumptions made, but men are invited to this event. It is being put on by the Dorcas Women's Circle, but men are invited to come. So there is a table outside. They just want to know who's coming so they can be prepared. So go ahead and sign up for that as you leave today. And again, Festival of Caring Kits are right out there. Everything you need to know in order to populate those is available for you. We've already have several coming back, but we need them all back by next Sunday in order for us to get them to their right location. Just a reminder, I will be out this week for a couple different trainings. I'll be leaving first thing Monday morning. I won't be back until Saturday. And then following that, our office administrator will be gone for a couple weeks. So keep in mind what's going on in the office for our availability. With that, let us settle our hearts and our minds and receive the prelude this morning from our bells team.
Thank you, Bell Choir. We always enjoy it. It's so nice to have the season back and have our music with us, right? Would you please rise and join me in the call to worship? Do you hear the whisper of God calling us to worship? Do you sense the beautiful people God is creating us to become?
God wants us to see your image within.
Are we ready to listen, learn, and grow?
God
And now join me as we sing the opening hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. It's number 103 in your hymnals, and it'll be on the screen. Please join me in our opening prayer. O God of heaven and earth, bless us with your mercy and grace. Enter our hearts and make us holy. Be our shepherd and our guide in your ways, that we may not wander alone. Hear our cries and gather us to yourself, that we may be one with each other through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. And now I want to invite the children to come on up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Might need that.
Is it on?
There we go.
Hello. All right. Hello, guys. I have something I want to ask you about this morning. Do you guys experience emotions? Mm. Yes. What kind of emotions do you sometimes experience?
Happiness.
Anger
is another one. Does anybody else have some other emotions that we experience?
Sadness.
Does anyone ever experience guilt? Do you know what guilt is? Guilt sometimes is that kind of, maybe it's a not good feeling in my stomach,
or I kind of feel like, oh, man, I did something wrong, and so it makes me feel bad. Sometimes it can be heaviness, right? So emotions are things that give us a signal. They tell us something, right? So all emotions are part of who we are. None of them are bad, but they're information. So when we experience guilt, it's telling us what? What do you think guilt's telling us?
Like you're telling you that. Can I say the game?
Sure.
After doing something bad, it makes you feel like sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
So sometimes it makes us feel sorry for what we did. What should we do with that? Should we keep it to ourselves?
Fix it?
How do we fix it? Pray, so we can talk to God about it, right? Ask for forgiveness for it. What else could we do, too?
Try spreading more kindness.
Okay. So I think it's important that we tell somebody that we did something that we're feeling guilty about. God is an important person to tell about that, but I think it's also important that we tell somebody that we trust, like our parents or a good friend or another adult that we trust. Maybe it's a grandparent, maybe it's a mentor, or a teacher, so that we can kind of let go of that guilt. All right, so here's a bag. Does that feel heavy? Yeah. You want to feel it? Does it feel kind of heavy? I got a lot of stuff in there. You want to feel it too? See. Does it feel heavy? So sometimes when we keep things inside that have made us feel bad, it makes us feel heavy. But if we tell somebody, it helps us take things out of that heavy bag or those burdens that are on our shoulders, and it makes it a lot lighter. Is it lighter now? Yeah, a lot lighter now. Because God doesn't want us to carry around all that heavy baggage. It's really light now. We can throw it up high. There we go.
Good job.
Yeah. So, emotions are something that give us information. We need to pay attention to it. And then sharing those emotions. It's good to share joy, it's good to share happiness, but it's also good to share guilt and anger with others in a healthy way that helps us feel better and lighten our load. Right? Okay. Let's have a prayer, and then we're going to have you take the buckets and go out and get the coins for mission. And then you can bring those coins back up and get your stuff. All right. Dear Lord, thank you for the emotions that you give us, those feelings that help us be aware that something's going on inside of us. Help us to always be able to talk to you about what those things are, knowing that you are there for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Get your coins ready. Here they come.
And now if you'll join us with the prayer hymn, Seek Ye First, number 405 in your hymnals and on the screen.
As we go into this time of prayer, I just want to say the events of this week with killings has made me sad. When we talk about our emotions and what we feel, there's a lot of anger. There's just so many things that people are feeling. And for me, the biggest part is sadness. Just from everything that we are witnessing and seeing, how much hate I believe that is being spread throughout the world in so many different ways. And being that we are those that are led by Christ, we know that love is what we should be leading with in all things. So let's go before our Lord in prayer this morning. God of mercy, God of grace, God of hope, God of love. God, we reach out to you this morning for so many different things. Lord, each of us have something on our hearts that is close to us, that is in our own circle, in our family, in our friends, that is a burden for us. There even may be the sense of joy that we're sensing in those areas as well, oh God. Let us experience these emotions that we are already talking about this morning, but help us, oh Lord, to understand them through you. Lord, our world is one that is responding to their emotions and not necessarily seeking the kingdom first. So, Lord, we just ask that you would be working in each and every person, as I know you are. May we be awakened to who you are and awakened to who we are without you so we can see our need for you. Lord, we just ask that you would help us be those that are sharing the love in the world. Alter our minds and our hearts to see each and every person as an image of Christ. That we are able to respond in a way that shows that we care for every person. There is nothing that should get in the way of that. So Lord, help us, mold us into your Son's understanding of the world. So that when we sense these feelings and things that come into our minds, may we be able to wrestle with them, but always come out of them with a new perspective of one that leads with love. Lord, it is heartbreaking to see so many things that are happening in our world today. And it can help, can hurt people in a way that keeps them from wanting to know you. So Lord, we just ask that you would break through all of that darkness, that your light would truly shine through, and that we would be a part of that light as we seek the kingdom first and seek our newness in you. So make us anew, O God, in your Son's likeness, so we can truly be love in the world today and every day to follow. Let us now share with one voice the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we have received so much from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we open ourselves to all that we've been given, we have a new understanding of what it means to give. So as those who have a relationship with Jesus, may we give with generous hearts today. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Please join together in the prayer of dedication. Most gracious God, we bring these gifts as we bring ourselves. We are nothing special in ourselves. But you seek us, you gather us together, and in your arms our lives come together. Bless us and these gifts, that together we may be a blessing and return your glory to you where it belongs. Amen. You may be seated.
Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength because he considered me faithful. So he appointed me to ministry, even though I used to speak against him, attack his people, and I was proud. But I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and without faith. Our Lord's favor poured all over me along with the faithfulness and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is reliable and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the biggest sinner of all. But this is why I was shown mercy, so that Christ Jesus could show his endless patience to me first of all. So I'm an example for those who are going to believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King of ages, to the immortal, invisible, and only God, may honor and glory be given to him forever and always. Amen. This is the reading of the word.
Well, just last week, we talked about how God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and Sustainer, knows us. It is an awesome feeling to be known and accepted for who we are. I mentioned, even though God knows us completely, we don't always know ourselves very well. We may know how we act and behave, but not necessarily know why. Sometimes we are told by others who we are, and we accept their analysis. We are complex beings, and we have many titles that identify aspects of us. Take myself as an example. I am a son, a brother, a nephew, a cousin, an uncle. I became a husband and a father. And now I'm even a great uncle, a father-in-law, a grandfather, a friend. Once upon a time, I was an athlete, a college graduate, an extrovert, pastor, preacher. And I'm sure there are more titles or roles I could come up with. We also describe ourselves by our behaviors and our mannerisms. I consider myself to be quiet, personable, loyal, detail-oriented. I'm anxious at times, organized, and playful. If I ask my wife, I'm sure she could come up with a few more descriptors and probably some I might not like. But as you can see, there are so many things that reveal a bit about who we are. We may have some of the same titles and behaviors, but we all are unique. However, even in our uniqueness, there is one thing that every human being, except for Jesus, inherently has in common. We are all sinners. We are all sinners. The generic definition of sinner is something like this: a person who transgresses against divine law. Then there's the argument becomes, what is the law? Many, like the Pharisees in Jesus' day, want the details of the letter of the law to be spelled out to identify sinners. Jesus simplified divine law to be love God and love others as we love ourselves. However, what we have all discovered over time is that we struggle with agreeing on the law and knowing how to love everyone. I see this as the proof we are all sinners. I have found it helpful for me to understand sin using this acrostic. selfishness in nature. We understand selfishness. Now, we may not be able to see the depth of it within ourselves, but we get it. Sin runs deep within us, friends. Amazingly, as Paul confesses, we are all ignorant of sin until we experience the grace of God and can identify as sinner. Now, grace is the means, but identifying as sinner is the gateway to salvation. On the contrary, ignorance of sin, what could be the gateway to hell? Today, I want to encourage us sinners by helping us see what is revealed when we identify as sinner. After Paul identified as sinner, taking ownership of his pridefulness, his outright denial of Christ's identity, and his persecution of the church, he recognized, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and without faith. Our Lord's favor poured all over me along with the faithfulness and love that are in Christ Jesus. I believe that Paul had his conversion experience on his mind when he wrote this letter to Timothy. If you recall, Paul was on his way to capture Christ's followers and put them in jail for dishonoring the God of the Jews, whom Paul had come to know and serve as a Jewish scholar. So Paul was far from being dumb, but he was ignorant of his identity as a sinner. According to the law he upheld, he was an abiding citizen of the kingdom of God. But by grace, the Lord's favor and the love for all, Paul was awakened to his sin and to the limits of the law. The law, whatever form or flavor we want to present, cannot save us from being sinners. When we are awakened to this reality and recognize our selfishness and nature, we see our need of a Savior. Now, our stories may not be as dramatic as Paul's, but we each must get to a point where we admit we need a Savior. Now, like Paul, I grew up in the church. I went to worship just about every week. Growing up in the Catholic Church, I went to catechism class to learn the prayers and the practice of the church. I knew Jesus died on the cross, and I believed in God. But at no point in my childhood, my youth, or my early adulthood did I take ownership of being a sinner in need of a Savior. Quite the opposite was true. I considered myself to be a good person. And then I walked away from the church when the church offended my family because of my parents' divorce. I decided I didn't need the church. And I didn't know I needed a Savior. Yet, by the grace of God, I realized being a good person compared to the bad people I witnessed and heard about did not make me any less of a sinner. Sin is sin. There aren't levels or a scale determining our sinfulness, our selfishness and nature. We can't save ourselves, and neither can a book of laws. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. So we have gone from ignorance to awakening as far as identifying as sinner. We can no longer deny our selfishness in nature, nor our inability to do something about it on our own. Again, this realization is only by the grace of God. We are incapable of claiming our identity as sinner without God's intervention. Also, by grace, we are not left to wallow in our awakened state that we are sinners in need of a Savior. See, Paul reminded Timothy and us as we read it today, who can fulfill our need? Writing, this saying is reliable and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says, I'm the biggest sinner of all, but this is why I was shown mercy, so that Christ Jesus could show His endless patience to me first of all. We each could take ownership of that statement. Paul was ready and willing to prosecute and persecute Christians because of Jesus before his conversion. After, he was able to proclaim Christ Jesus as Savior. And then Paul's passion for the Lord did not change, but his understanding of the one he served and his motivation did. Paul understood grace had no bounds and extends to everyone with the intent to save us from sin through the one God sent into the world, Christ Jesus Himself. Also, Paul's motivation to serve moved from being a slave to the law to follow Jesus, the Lord of his life. See, those who are awakened as sinners can hear the gospel of Jesus with an accepting heart and then follow Him. Identifying as sinner, we can accept Jesus Christ as both Savior and Lord. Because with Jesus, we have a Savior. We are no longer lost or enslaved to the law or to sin and death. In Christ, we live free to follow Him where He leads us as we submit to Him as Lord of our life. That's when our motivation moves from selfishness to servanthood. No, that's not all that Jesus does for us. Or should I say in us? See, Paul alluded to the full intent of God's grace given in Jesus when he wrote, so I'm an example for those who are going to believe in Him for eternal life. So I ask, with Paul as an example, what can we determine about sinners who are awakened to the need of a Savior, who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then follow Him as their Lord for all eternity? Let me ask this another way. Is Paul before Christ the same after Christ? No. He's still a sinner, but he is saved by grace and sin no longer rules his life. Christ does. So we who identify as sinners saved by Jesus our Lord, well, we live a transformed life in Christ. Friends, this transformation doesn't come just with the belief in Jesus as Savior. No, transformation comes through giving our life's reign to Jesus. Now, Jesus isn't our co-pilot, as you might have seen on a bumper sticker. When we accept Jesus as Lord, we vacate the whole pilot seat and begin the Jesus-led journey of transformation. I would go on to say that the Holy Spirit is Jesus' co-pilot, and we are passengers on our way to Christ-likeness. The change, the transformation is incremental as we make the transition from pilot to co-pilot, to reluctant passenger, to perhaps an anxious passenger, then to patient passenger, until we get to the point where we are the joyful passenger anticipating the goodness of grace always and forever. Let's give up the pilot seat and be an example for those who are going to believe in Jesus for eternal life. Now, from what I can tell, Paul was well on his way to becoming a joyful passenger. And why do I say that or believe that? Well, it's in the way he opened and closed this paragraph of his letter to Timothy, who he was encouraging in his faith journey. And Paul wrote, "I thank Christ our Lord, who has given me strength because he considered me faithful. And now to the King of the ages, to the immortal, invisible, and only God, may honor and glory be given to him forever and always. Amen." Now, writing his letter, Paul was much older than Timothy and was a seasoned missionary for Christ. Paul not only experienced the grace of God, he endured the selfishness of humanity as he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. Through his faithfulness to Christ's reign in his life, Paul was able to recognize the Lord's transforming work in his life and to give credit where credit was due. Until we identify as sinners, we will not be able to experience and recognize the amazing transformation of the grace of God. However, when we sinners respond in faith to Christ Jesus, we will see God is worthy of thanksgiving and praise. Friends, God loves us. God knows us. God awakens us. God saves us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God moves us from selfishness to servanthood. All of this is revealed to us when we finally identify as sinners. The gateway of salvation is opened as we are awakened to our need of a Savior, who we come to know as Jesus, our Savior and Lord, who through the work and power of the Holy Spirit motivates us to live a transformed life in Christ, which leads us to recognize God's worthiness of all our thanks and praise. Let's awaken. Let's awaken to and accept our identity as sinners and experience the fullness of the gift of grace that Paul says is poured out all over us, along with the faithfulness and love that are in Christ Jesus. So be faithful as the Lord is faithful. Amen.
And now will you stand, if you're able, to join us in the closing hymn, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven," number 66.
Hallelujah, the God of grace is one who has poured out upon us so much grace we don't even know what to think. Receive that grace and know that Jesus Christ is in you and with you and loves you. And recognize that you have a whole new way in front of you. Take Jesus with you when you go. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.